Well, morning, everybody. Ezekiel 36, and then also with that, Genesis chapter 12. Ezekiel 36, and also if you take Genesis 12, we'll go there to start. The book of Ezekiel is an amazing book. There's a lot to it. You'll see as you read through it, you're going to see the glory of God, and you're going to see the holiness of God. You're going to see the justice of God. A lot of people have, said some things, a lot of things about the book of Ezekiel. It's a prophetic book. There's much to it. The opening chapters start with Ezekiel's call in chapters 1 through 3. And then Jerusalem's fall, Ezekiel chapters 4 through 24. The nations are judged, Ezekiel 25 through 32. And then from Ezekiel 33 through to the end, it's all about Israel. And they never think just because, go over Romans 9, 10 and 11. Romans 9 is Israel's past. Romans 10 is Israel's present. Romans 11 is Israel's future. Don't ever think that if it looks like God has put you on the shelf and has left you alone, that it's permanent. It doesn't necessarily have to be. God has put away the Jew. God is dealing with the Gentiles until the time of the Gentiles be fulfilled. God is dealing with the Gentiles. Everyone that is not a Jew, you're a Gentile. And so God is dealing with the Gentiles at this present time. As we come to Ezekiel 36, last week was 34. Is that right, Brother Michael? 34, 35. It's about the shepherd. And Israel has a shepherd. As you come here, we're going to see the future of the land of Israel and what God's going to do for Israel. So it's important. Let's go to Genesis 12 as we start now. Have a look at God's promise to Abraham in Genesis 12, verses 1 through 3. Now the Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house into a land that I will show thee. And I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee and curse him that curseth thee, and in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed. So God's told Abraham, I'm going to give you a land. And as you go into, as you read the book of Genesis, you'll see that the land that God gave to Abraham. And it stretched from over in Babylon. It heads to the north. It goes over to the Nile River and back. That big triangle, the Fertile Crescent, it covers all that area, the land. Israel has never fully taken possession of all that land. But there's coming a time when Israel will one day take care of all the land that God gave to Abraham all those years ago. So Genesis 13 now, verse 14. And the Lord said unto Abram after that Lot was separated from him, lift up now thine eyes and look from the place where thou art, northward and southward and eastward and westward, for all the land which thou seest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed forever, and I will make thy seed as the dust of the earth, so that if a man can number the dust of the earth, then shall thy seed be numbered. Arise, walk through the land in the length of it and in the breadth of it, and I will give it unto thee. So God says, I'm going to give you the land. Abraham, you got to walk. You got to walk through the land. I'm going to give it to you. Whatever you cover up, Abraham, that's your land. I'm going to give it to you and to your seed. And then he says, not only that, Abram, I'm going to make of thee a great nation. I'll make thy seed as the dust of the earth. Out at work, we have there's a lot of fine dust. No rain is terrible out there right now. and the dust is very fine. And as I was giving thought to these things, I've looked at that dust before and I thought, just how much, if I took a handful of dust and I split it all up, how much, how many particles would make up that dust, that coal dust? But God said, Abram, I'm going to give you this land and I'm going to also give you a lineage. I'm going to give you a family. I'm going to give you these things. While we're on that thought, just have a look at Genesis 15 and verse 5, because we will mention this as we come to Ezekiel 36. All this, I believe, is going to give us a foundation for Ezekiel 36. Genesis 15, verse 5, and he brought him forth abroad and said, look now toward heaven and tell the stars if thou be able to number them. And he said unto him, so shall thy seed be. So God's going to give Abram a good a land, and he's going to give him plenty of descendants, not just a couple. He's going to give him a heap. There's going to be a lot there that make up Abram's lineage, Abram's line, the ones that God's going to use. So back to Ezekiel 36 now. This chapter is all about Israel's future, and it's about the land. Now, be careful. Before we go too much more, be careful of taking the promises to Israel and making them yours as a Christian. Be careful of taking those promises. Everything in the book, in the scriptures, is written to you, but not everything is written for you. So there's you can take all of it and glean something from, but there are some things you can't take personally because it's not written to you. It's written to somebody else. So be careful in applying God's promises to Israel and making them your own. Amen. Now, with this chapter in mind, now it is in chapter 36, God's going to give Israel back the land. If you, as they're pining away, they're in captivity. We see that in Ezekiel 37 and verse 10, is it? Let me check. 11. And he said unto me, son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. Behold, they say, our bones are dried and our hope is lost. We are cut off. For our paths. See, Israel was at a point in time where they thought, all our hope is gone. There's nowhere else we could go. But if only they'd listened to the prophets days gone by, they wouldn't be in Babylonian captivity. If only they'd listened and taken on board. Jeremiah, remember Jeremiah, he kept waving that flag. Jeremiah saw him going to captivity. He kept saying, turn, amend your ways and your doings. Turn, go back. How much difference it would have made to Israel if they would have listened years gone by to God's men that he brought across their lives and into their paths. But God isn't finished with Israel. God's going to do more with Israel. What's happening in chapter 36 continues on into 37. We're not going to look at 37 today. I'm just going to confine to 36. Four key words that come through in these two chapters. Restoration, Israel's restoration, and that's chapters 36, verses 1 through 15. How God is going to restore the land. Now you go from verse 16 through to verse 38, through to the end of 36, and you have regeneration, the people are cleansed. You go over into 37, you have resurrection, all about the dry bones. That's resurrection, a nation is reborn. And then that's verses 1 through 14. And then from verses 15 through to the end, we have reunion. Verse 16 there, he talks about take a stick for Israel, take a stick for Judah, join them together. There's coming a time, folks, when Israel and Judah will be brought back together in the future.
Amen.
Now, 1 Kings chapter 12, yeah, somebody's called it the largest church split. And that's when a whole nation split. 10 northern, 2 southern. From 1 Kings 12. I don't know when 1 Kings 12 happened by date, but there's several hundred years, say, going from the end of Genesis to when Christ comes about is about 1,500 years, and then from when Christ came to now is 2,000. So let's just say it's a good 3,000 years since 1 Kings 12, that nation has been split. But God's going to bring both those countries, both those nations, Israel and Judah, back together in one. God's not finished with Israel.
Amen.
We see this now. So be careful with the Jew, because God's not finished. He's just dealing with us. There ought to be enough on our plates just with him dealing with us. Now let's see how we can cover this chapter in our time left. Verse 1. So it's all about the restoration of the land now. The land is going to be healed. Also, thou son of man, prophesy unto the mountains of Israel and say, ye mountains of Israel, hear the word of the Lord. So Ezekiel, I want you to preach to the mountains. Ezekiel, I'm going to give you a message. You're going to preach it to the mountains. So it's indicative of he's preaching to the land. Because God gave Israel the land. So he's going to preach to that of the land, ye mountains. Now, as you come down through these opening verses of it, he talks about, it speaks of speaking to the mountains. We see it again there in verse 8, but ye, O mountains of Israel. We see it again in verse 4, is it? Yes, verse 6, verse 8. He's got a message to the land. God's going to heal the land. God's going to restore the land of Israel. It's not going to be, it will not be as it is. What it is right now is not what it's going to always be. Because God's going to do a work in that land. God has a covenant with Israel. God made the covenant with Israel. God didn't break the covenant. Israel did. Now, they had the ownership. Israel had the ownership. Abraham's descendants had the ownership of the land, but their possession of the land and their enjoyment of the land was dependent upon their obedience and following after the law of God. When they disobeyed, when they turned away, that's when they lost the blessing and they lost the land. Christian, we can learn from that. The blessings that we have of God now are dependent upon our obedience and walking after the law of God. As we follow after the Lord, we can learn from it. This is what we need to do. We need to be walking after the Lord and to do that. I'm sure if you've been a Christian for any length of time, you get away from the Lord, chastening comes. You've experienced God's discipline, God's chastening hand to bring us back unto himself. So he's preaching to the land. Thus saith the Lord God, because the enemy hath said against you, aha, even the ancient places are ours in possession. The enemy, God hears what the enemy was saying. Don't ever think, Christian, that when someone is risen up against you, someone has animosity, someone has a beef against you, that God doesn't hear it. God hears. See, these people, because, even the ancient high places are ours in possession. Their neighbours didn't even try to assist them. You go back to Ezekiel 35 and verse 10. Because thou hast said, these two nations and these two countries shall be mine and we will possess it. Whereas the Lord was there. The surrounding nations thought, this is it. We're going to take that country for us. No, God gave Israel that country. Israel's surrounding country, the neighbours, didn't go to help them. Israel was left on their own. God God's jealousy burns, therefore prophesy. And say, thus saith the Lord God, because they have made you desolate and swallowed you up on every side, that ye might be a possession and unto the residue of the heathen, and ye are taken in the lips of talkers and are an infamy. Therefore, ye mountains of Israel, hear the word of the Lord God. Thus saith the Lord to the mountains, to the hills, to the rivers, and to the valleys, to the desolate wastes, and the cities that are forsaken, which became a prey and a derision to the residue of the heathen that are round about. So Ezekiel's message is to all the geography of Israel, the mountains, the hills, the plains, the wastes, the desolate places, the rivers, the seas, all of Israel. Ezekiel says, God has a message for the land. And God is going to bring about healing of that land. Now, jump down if you would now. We see that in verse 8. God's jealousy is seen, verses 4, 5, and 6. That jealousy is there. And in verse 7, the Lord took an oath that surely the heathen that are about you, they shall bear their shame. God says the way they treated you, they're going to be shamed for the way they treated you. I'm going to shame them. Verse 8, but ye, O mountains of Israel, ye shall shoot forth your branches and yield your fruit to my people of Israel, for they are at hand to come. For behold, I am for you, and I will turn unto you, and ye shall be tilled and sown, and I will multiply men upon you, all the house of Israel, even all of it. And the city shall be inhabited, and the way shall be builded, and I will multiply upon you man and beast, and they shall increase and bring fruit. And I will settle you after your old estates, and will do better unto you than at your beginnings, and ye shall know that I am the Lord. Yea, I will cause men to walk upon you, even my people Israel, and they shall possess thee, and thou shalt be their inheritance, and thou shalt no more henceforth bereave them of men. Thus saith the Lord God, because they said unto you, the land of Arisat men, and hast bereaved thy nations, therefore thou shalt devour men no more, neither bereave thy nations any more, saith the Lord God. Neither will I cause men to hear in thee the shame of the heathen any more, neither shalt thou bear the reproach of the people any more, neither shalt thou cause thy nations to fall any more, thus saith the Lord God. Did you notice how many times any more? Anymore? Oh, there's going to come a time when it stops. And God says, no more. That's finished. Israel, I've got something for you. Land, I'm going to restore you. Land, I'm going to fix you up. And you're going to bring forth this for my people. My people are at hand. My people are ready to come in. See, people say, oh, there's a return to Israel now. It ain't nothing like what it's going to be.
Amen to that.
Oh, they're going to pour into that place. People are returning to Israel. I am not denying that. It's documented. People are saying ministries that have burden on for Israel are saying they're returning, but it's not going to be like what it's going to be one day when Israel returns to their land. Their land is going to bring forth abundantly. We see that in verse 8. Ye shall shoot forth branches and yield your fruit. Oh, you look around now, it's pretty drab. We come back on the tilt train there the other day from work, and there's a mum and a son standing at the door, and they're looking out, coming into Landsborough, and they're standing there looking and looking. And I and a couple of other people, we were waiting to get off the train, and they stepped away from the door. Oh, no, you stay. Oh, no, we're not getting off here. We just like seeing how green it is. Because I don't know where they got on, but they're from up the way somewhere, and it's brown. It's not until you get like to Gympie, it starts greening up. Even now, we've only received about two-thirds to three-quarters of the rain that we normally receive. So for that man, how green our Sunshine Coast is, God's still given us a green place, having received only 2/3 or 3/4 of the rain we normally receive. But they couldn't believe just how green it was. You get a bit of rain, and isn't it amazing how the flowers come out, the trees grow, the new buds, the new shoots. Oh, God's going to rain down on that place a blessing. And Israel is going to be a place. It's going to be the center. We've looked at that over in the book of Isaiah as we came through there. It's going to be the center of the world. It's going to be the world capital. It's going to be the place of worship. It's going to be a place of finances. It's all going to be in Israel. God's got a work to do there in that place. And God's going to bless it. Not only is it going to be a fruitful place that we see, verses 10, 11 into 12 there, it's going to be a place that's safe and secure. It's going to be a place of security, a place of safety. People are going to be, God's people are going to be safe there. There's not going to be any reason for them otherwise to fear. It's going to be a place of safety. And notice, I will multiply men upon you. During the Babylonian invasion, during the wars leading up to it, then the invasion, and then all that's happened in Israel's history to this point in time when they're in Babylonian captivity, the population of Israel reduced. People were killed through the war. Then we find also in other places there was famines, pestilences, these things also recorded in Ezekiel. Israel's numbers dropped. But God says, my people are at hand and my people are going to be multiplied in this land. So it's going to be a place of multiplication. They're going to be a numerous people. We read that over in Genesis 13 as the dust. Genesis 15 as the stars of heaven. Just to give you an idea, I won't develop it too much. I was listening to the ABC radio one night when I was at night shift. They talked to an astronomer, and he said that if you looked at every star for 1 second in your lifetime, you would not see all the stars that are out there. So I did the sums. If a man lived 70 years and he started at his birth looking at every star, I forget the number, it's huge. That's how many stars, I'm out of Blackwater, I'm out in regional Queensland, not a star in the sky that night. It's about midnight, 1 o'clock. I looked up, wow. And really, you look where Australia is on the world map, we're down here, we see all the stars out this way. We don't see all the stars that way. How many stars are out there? And God says, Abraham, I'm going to give you. Oh, could he really give him that many? He could, but let's just suffice to say there is a lot. God's going to give Abraham a lot of descendants. So it's a tremendous thing what you see God doing. The mountains, it talks there about at the end of verse 12 about bereaving Israel of men, the land devouring up men, has bereaved the nations, devour no more, bereaved nations no more. There, some commentators think that it's in these mountains that there was high places set up to the false gods, and then there was the laying down of human sacrifice and people's lives being offered on those mountains in that place. So he's saying, if mountains, you're no more going to devour my people. This is going to be a land of blessing. It's going to be a land of security, a land of multiplication. It's going to be an abundant land. It's going to be a land all spread out that's going to be a blessing to all the people of the earth. As we come now to the second part of this chapter, we see it details Israel's regeneration, where the people are going to be cleansed. Now, we can split now this last section into two parts. Verses 16 through 23 is God's indictment is God's. There are two indictments God brings again. Verses 16 through 23, God's indictment against his people. And then verses 24 through 38 is a transformation of his people. God's going to bring an indictment against his people. People, you are guilty of this charge. The charge that he's going to level at them is twofold. This also is twofold. Firstly, they polluted the land. They polluted the land, verses 16 through 19. They profaned his name, verses 20 to 23. They polluted the land. So let's look at this now. So God is going to give to Israel a restored land, a beautiful land, a bountiful land, a land of safety, a place of enjoyment, where Israel, God's people, but a transformed land must have a transformed people. So God is going to do a work in his people. They defiled the land. Moreover, the word, verse 16, the word of the Lord came unto me saying, Son of man, when the house of Israel dwelt in their own land, they defiled it by their own way and by their own doings. Their way was before me as the uncleanness of a removed woman. Wherefore I poured out my fury upon them for the blood that was shed upon the land and for the idols wherewith they had polluted it. Israel defiled the land long before the Babylonians came in and set up their kingdom, set up reign and serve, subjection to the people. We've gone through most of the prophets. We started in the minor prophets. We've covered Isaiah and Jeremiah, just about all the minor prophets, and all they all detail how Israel went into idolatry, how they wanted to be like the world around them and act like them and behave like them. They defiled the land long before. Israel was guilty. Israel was guilty of defiling the land, of polluting it. They polluted the land. They did what they wanted to do. They forgot. God says, the land is mine, in Leviticus. In Psalm 24, the whole earth is the Lord's. And they mistreated God. God said, this is my land, but Israel, I'm going to share it with you. And they thought they could do what they wanted in that land. They'd forgotten. God owned that land. God gave it to them. It was God's land to give. So it's a place. Verse 18 records their sin, the sin of that place, that blood was shed. Now we look in other places and it talks about innocent blood was shed. It talks about there the idols, idolatry. Talks about those things. How the land was polluted because of their sin. I wonder how our land is polluted for our sin. All the lands of the world, if we consider the all the earth, the whole earth is the Lord's. I wonder how the Lord thinks about what we're doing, how we're living our lives. And the land was polluted. How they polluted. Verse 19, and I scattered them among the heathen, and they were dispersed through the countries according to their way and according to their doings. I judged them. God sent them out. God dispersed them. Now, when you come to verse 20, and when they entered unto the heathen, whither they went, they profaned my holy name. They polluted the land. But the word profane comes up several times now in verses 20, 21, 22, 23. They profaned my holy name when they said unto them, these are the people of the Lord and are gone forth out of his land. But I had pity for mine holy name, which the house of Israel had profaned, among the heathen, whither they went. Therefore say unto the house of Israel, thus saith the Lord God, I do not this for your sakes, O house of Israel, but for mine holy name's sake, which ye have profaned among the heathen, whither ye went. And I will sanctify my great name, which was profaned among the heathen, which ye have profaned in the midst of them, and the heathen shall know that I am the Lord, saith the Lord God, when I shall be sanctified in you before their eyes. Oh, they profaned his name. They profaned his name when they went into captivity, when they were dispersed, when they were scattered throughout the world. They profaned God's name. Instead of being, in Isaiah talks about that the Jews were to be a light of the Gentiles, a light to the Gentiles. That was God's mind for them. They were supposed to be a light to the rest of the nations of the world. And yet when they went into captivity, when they were dispersed abroad, they profaned God's name. They brought down. God says, I've got two charges. Israel, I've got two charges against you. One, you've polluted the land. You've profaned my name. And Christian, we need to be careful of profaning the name of the Lord as we interact with the world. Be sure to let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. May they see that we belong to Christ, that we are a Christian, that we act in a certain way. So there's two charges that he brings up against them. Now, as we come now to verse 23, now it talks about the cleansing. Verse 24. For I will take you from among the heathen and gather you out of all countries and will bring you into your own land. You see, they learn idolatry. They go off into captivity. And while they're in captivity, they soon learn, we need to drop this idolatry. And they drop idolatry. God says, I'm going to bring you. Some places of Scripture says, I will gather you. Other places, I will bring you. God hasn't finished with Israel. God's got a place. God's got a purpose. If hold your place here. Let me just give you a verse. Jeremiah 29. If you don't want to turn there, I'll read it to you. Jeremiah 29:11. Folks, we all need to keep this in mind. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord God. Thoughts of peace and not of evil to give you an expected end. Jeremiah 29:11. See, we think God's the big ogre up there with the stick and he's going to whoop us and blah, 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 blah. Oh, no, 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 no. God has thoughts of peace. God doesn't cast off. God has thoughts of peace. And God and in God's mind, there's an expected end. God had an expected end for Israel. God was going to bring Israel back into their country again. They profaned the Sabbaths. They turned away from his name. For I will take you from among the heathen and gather you out of all countries, and I will bring you into your own land. Now, as we come now to verses 25. Down through to the end, we see what God's going to do for his people. So there is a charge being brought against God's people. But then God's going to cleanse his people. And God's going to cause them to be a transformed people to go into a transformed land. There's going to be. So, then will I sprinkle clean water upon you, and ye shall be clean. From all your filthiness and from all your idols will I cleanse you. So the first thing God's going to do is there's going to be a cleansing. It comes from that sprinkling. It's not the water. The water does not clean the heart. The water doesn't do anything, but it's trusting what that water does. So too, here we are, years later, it's not baptism It's not the water. It's our faith in Christ that causes that cleansing to take part. That water, sprinkled clean water, is water that was prepared for a set purpose. You find that over in Leviticus, back in the books of the law. There is something already done, but that cleansing takes place. Verse 26, then there's a new heart also will I give you. Oh, he's going to give him a new heart. There's going to be a change here. There's going to be a new heart. God desired them to have a different sort of heart than what they had. You see, we think we're all right when we do everything outwardly right. But God says, no, 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 no. I look on the heart. Look not upon his stature. Oh, he's a strapping lad. He's going to be king. And he says, Samuel, don't look on the outward stature. Look on the heart. God sees the heart. We live in such a world, someone said, in our modern age is a pushover for the shallow and the shortcut. We are wanting to change everything but the human heart. Oh, it's not me, it's my environment. Oh, it's not me, it's my family. It's not me, it's my handicaps. It's not me, it's all about working on the heart, having the right heart attitude. See, God looks on the heart. He doesn't look on our doings. A new heart, he says, I will give them a new heart. He wanted such a heart in them in Deuteronomy 5 and verse 29. He says, oh, that there was such a heart in them that they would fear me and keep all my commandments always, that it might be well with them and with their children forever. Oh, that there was such a heart in them. God wanted a heart in his people that would hear the word of God. They would obey it. And when they obeyed it, he could bless. It would be well not only with them, not only with that generation, but with the generation to come. God would bless. God says, I'll give them a new heart. That's in, and a new spirit will I put within you. We'll come back to that. And I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I'll give you an heart of flesh. He's going to get rid of that stony heart, that heart that water won't penetrate, seed won't penetrate, that doesn't bring forth fruit and abundance. God says, I'm going to get rid of that. I'm going to put a heart of flesh in there. I'm going to give you a soft heart, a heart that's responsive, a heart that's going to respond to the things of God. So a new heart will I give you, then he says, and a new spirit will I put within you. It's a miracle of God that God at salvation, here we are now in our day and age, that God would put his Holy Spirit inside sinful man. That's a miracle. That is amazing when God says, I've saved you, and just to show you that I've saved you, I'm giving you the earnest of the Spirit. I'm giving you a deposit, a down payment. I'm telling you, I'm showing you I'm real. I'm going to put part of me, I'm going to put me inside of you so you know that you're mine, and that Holy Spirit is going to speak to you and he's going to forever be with you. It's a miracle. I don't know how he's going to do it in days to come when he says, I'm going to give you a new heart and I'm going to put a new spirit in you. God's going to transform these people. He's going to change them. That Holy Spirit is going to be like refreshing, and it's going to bring about fruitfulness in the people. Oh, isn't it amazing when the Spirit of God gets to working in our lives, what a difference it makes in our heart. But when our hearts become hardened, it's hard for him to work. A new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you. Verse 27, and I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and ye shall keep my judgments and do them. You know, the presence of the Holy Spirit, we covered this. We looked at this back in 2 Peter. Verses 3 and 4, he has given us everything, all these promises, to be partakers of his divine nature, everything that pertains unto life and godliness, God has put within us. Father, he changes our hearts, and he puts that spirit within us. He's promised Israel, Israel, I'm going to clean you. Israel, I'm going to give you a new heart. Israel, as a people, this is not the land, the people. Israel, I'm going to put a new spirit within you. I'm going to give you a different spirit. Verse 28, and ye shall dwell in the land that I gave to your fathers, and ye shall be my people, and I will be your God. Looks like a permanent arrangement. It's going to be something that Israel isn't going to be able to walk away from. They're going to keep and do his commandments. Verse 27, God says, you're going to be my people. I'm going to be your God. You're going to have this land. Verse 29, and I will also save you from all your uncleannesses, and I will call for the corn and will increase it and lay no famine upon you, and I will multiply the fruit of the tree and the increase of the field, that ye shall receive no more reproach of famine among the heathen. Drop down to verse 33. Thus saith the Lord God, in the day that I shall have cleansed you from all your iniquities, I will also cause you to dwell in the cities, and the waste shall be builded, and the desolate land shall be tilled, whereas it lay desolate in the sight of all that pass by. And they shall say, this is the land that was desolate, is become like the Garden of Eden, and the waste and desolate and ruined cities are become fenced and are inhabited. We see that the land will flourish. Oh, God's going to give to this people a land that's flourishing. It's people are going to look on and say, isn't this Israel? Isn't this what it was? Oh, then they're going to know that there is a God in Israel. God covenanted with his people to bless them and to meet their needs. They needed to obey him. If they obeyed, he covenanted, he promised, his side of the bargain. If you'll do your side, this is what I'll do. I'll meet your needs. I'll be with you. I'll bless you. I'll give you what you need. The Jews gave up a lot when they turned their backs on God. Christian, just keep that in mind. You lose an awful lot when you turn your back on God. Oh, it's so hard. It can be hard. It can be terrible. But I tell you, if you turn your back and walk away, you're going to lose a whole lot, a lot more than what you ever think possible. Just stick at it. Just keep plugging away. Don't turn your back. Just keep pressing on as best you can. Lay hold on that and seek God to give you some victory and to bring about some things. Maybe there's some idolatry there you've got to get rid of. Whatever it be, just find out what it is and get rid of it so that God can bless his people. But the Jews chose idols over God. They lost what God had for them to have what the idols had and what the idols had. Idols had, they had nothing. None. They, folks, there's nowhere else we can turn. Peter said, to whom shall we turn? Thou hast the words of eternal life. Man, we've got nowhere else we can turn, really. But I think we read, I'm just about to chase this rabbit. But there's a lot of rabbit in it. About doing your own way. We read it here in this chapter. About doing your own way, doing what you want to do. Be careful of that. Be careful of doing what you want to do. There it is. Yeah. When the house of Israel dwelt in their own land and defiled it by their own way and by their own doings. Hey, you do what you want to do, it's going to come at a cost. That's verse 17. Their way was before me as the uncleanness of a removed woman. You're defiling yourself. You're polluting the land of your life. Be careful. Be careful. Verse 31, 32, then shall ye remember your own evil doings and your doings that were not good, and shall loathe yourselves in your own sight for your iniquities and for your abominations. Not for your sakes do I this, saith the Lord God, be it known unto you. Be ashamed and confounded for your own ways, O house of Israel. So that verse 32 links back to verse 17. about your own ways, your own doings. Be careful of that. If you can look back on your past sins and glory in them, you haven't judged them and repented of them. When you can go back and glory in them and have in the depths of your heart, it doesn't come out anywhere else, but in the depths of your heart, yeah, I did that. Be careful. God says, Israel, when I've transformed the land, Israel, when I've cleaned you up, when I've cleansed you, when I've given you a new heart, no more stony heart, I've given you a heart of flesh, I've put my spirit within you, I've blessed you, the land is going to be blessed. Israel, when I've done all that for you, Israel, you're going to look and you're going to loathe yourself. You're going to have shame for how you treated me and what you did. We ought to be ashamed of how we've treated God in the past. We ought to be ashamed. Well, but I've grown up in church. I reckon there'd be some things that you'd be ashamed of. Israel, when you're in the land, after I've given you these things, Israel, you're going to be ashamed. You're going to loathe yourselves. You're going to be ashamed and confounded. The land's going to be the desolate land is going to be tilled. 34, we've covered this. Verse 35, it's going to be fruitful. People are going to look at it. Verse 36, then the heathen that are left round about you shall know that I, the Lord, build the ruined places and plant that was desolate. I, the Lord, have spoken it and will do it. Thus saith the Lord God. I will yet for this be inquired of by the house of Israel to do it for them. I will increase them with men like a flock. As the holy flock, as the flock of Israel in her solemn feasts, so shall the waste cities be filled with flocks of men, and they shall know that I am the Lord. So there is coming a time when desolate Israel is going to be turned. Thus said the Lord God, we see there in verse 37, I will yet for this be inquired of. You know, one of the blessings that Israel is going to have is they're going to have access to God. They're going to have access to God. They're going to be able to go to God and God's going to hear them. God says, I will be inquired of. So God, that's telling us God's going to hear what Israel is saying. When Israel go to God and they inquire of God of something, God will hear them. Folks, if your heart isn't right with the Lord, it's going to be hard for God to hear your prayer. And that's why we all at times will withdraw from prayer because we believe God's not going to hear us. Well, he's not going to hear us because our heart isn't right towards him. He said, I will increase them with men like a flock. So God's people are going to be multiplied. They're pictured as sheep back in Ezekiel 34. The good shepherd, the great shepherd, the chief shepherd's come. There's going to be a people come out of there. God's people are likened to that. And verse 38, as it closes there, they shall know that I am the Lord. The result of all that God will do for Israel, verses 24 through 38, is that he will be glorified. Now, Christian, those things, there are some things that are parallels for us. So God cleanses us. He cleanses us of sin. He gives us a new heart. He gives us the Holy Spirit. He's claimed us as his own people. Titus chapter 2, we're God's own people. God's caused the land of our life to flourish. There's been that. We will abhor sin. Verses 31, 32, we will abhor sin. We'll be in fellowship with God. That's indicative of prayer and of verse 37 there. We'll be in fellowship with the Lord. We will grow. Talks about that, about increasing with men like a flock. God's going to cause us to grow, be fruitful, and there's going to be at the and for us, we're going to know, man, only God could do this with us. On my own, I couldn't do this, but this is what God's going to do. Let God have his will and way. Israel, God isn't finished with Israel yet. So Israel, God's going to transform the land. He's going to transform the people. He's going to transform Israel the land. He's going to transform Israel the people. And God is going to work. Coming up in the future, all that is yet to be. Folks, we have a God that does not forget. And he hasn't forgotten his people. He hasn't forgotten you. What a God we have. So just keep an eye on Israel. Remember, pray for Israel. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. There are different ministries ministering to the Jews now. There's coming a time when God's going to raise up them Jews again. By that stage, we're gone. We're done. We're out of here. We're finished. We're on the other side. We have our own judgment. God's going to judge this world. He's going to use the Jew to do it. And the Jew is going to be victorious. Father, we look forward to those end days. God, give us grace for the days that we're in now. That, Lord, we'd find it in Thee, God. We'd see Your hand in our lives. God, lead us on. We pray. Meet with us in the morning service. We ask now in Jesus' name. Amen.